I guess we were
It's
being recorded.
Mr. Adler at the 9:05 on a Thursday morning, as we're zipping along with Zoom with the Efrat English Kollel, and Rav Adler will elucidate us with eye-catching shuvot.
Well, thank you.
Bonjour.
What was that?
Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour, mes amis. That pretty much gives you all the French I know. Anyway, thank you all for coming today. I really appreciate it. It's been a while. Feeling much better last week. Did not feel well, but Chasdei Hashem, here we are together. Hope everybody had a beautiful Pesach, God willing. So today we're going to look at some questions related to Sfirat HaOmer, which might have been done already in the last week and a half with somebody.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Oh, very nice. Good job. Good job. Yeah. So I just want to lay a little bit of groundwork, and then I found some very eye-catching, not so much the questions, but the answers. They're kind of iconoclastic tshuvot or answers to typical questions that we hear around this time. So anyway, just to lay a bit of a groundwork on some familiar territory. Here's some things that we understand pretty much about the Sfirat HaOmer counting. It starts out when Vayikra, Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud, Ki Tavo El Haaretz, Asher Ani Noten Lachem, when you come to the land that I will give you, Ukitzartem Et Kitzira, then you got to cut the whatever's growing. We'll zero in on that. V'havetem Et Omer Reshit Kitzirchem El HaKohen. So before any grain produce of the new year may be eaten, a measure of ground barley must be brought to the Beit HaMikdash as a meal offering, symbolizing that the prosperity of the field, despite the intense labor that is required for the soil to yield that produce, despite all that hard labor, it's all a gift from Hashem. We thank Him for it. And so an Omer is described, at least in the Art Scroll Chumash, as a dry measure containing the volume of 43.2 average eggs. That's something good to remember. And that's the amount of flour that is brought. And then the Pasuk that we just read speaks of the Kohen waving the Omer volume before Hashem to be done. And these are the explosive words, Mimacharat HaShabbat. And in Chav Gimel Tetvav, we find this expression, which we're familiar with. Usefartem lachem yimacharat Shabbat, sheva shabbatot tmimot yena. We count for 7 complete weeks. Complete weeks is what drives most shuls, probably maybe all, but most shuls, to not have an early minyan on Shavuos night. People wait until the proper time, until it's evening, etc., and that becomes Shavuos. But I remember hearing a shiur many, many years ago from somebody at YU, who was a member at that time of the Kollel Elyon. So, and he said, no, there's really no need to wait until nightfall on Erev Shavuot. You can whenever, like you would accept Shabbat, that's when you can accept. Anyways, that was quite an eye opener and an eye catcher. That was 30 years ago, so I can't give you the details of it,
How
but
would
he
we
said
explain the
that's
seven
just not
complete weeks?
accurate. Was
Well,
that?
how would he explain the 7 complete weeks?
Yeah, that's the question. How did he explain it? I can tell you that he did. Again, this is 30 years ago. I can't remember the components of it, but Lemaisa, as they say. The bottom line was he said for various reasons you can and you may. Okay, this is generally not the practice that's followed today, but he gave a very at that time a very clear and well parsed out shear on why you could accept Shavuos at the same time that you might accept for Shabbat.
Ashul had an early minyan for
Who's
Pesach.
this?
The Geffen Beit Knesset had an early
Okay.
minyan, which I didn't even know about. I think the notice went out in Hebrew, and I missed it.
Oh, right.
So I had an early minyan, and I was surprised because it was around 30, 40 people there. It wasn't a small number.
Right.
I'm not sure. I guess you wait to say, so you wait for Kiddush till nightfall. I guess you come home, you set everything up, and maybe you start on the dot.
Right.
Maybe it saves 40, 45 minutes. It's possible. But we didn't do that in the old country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Initially, from that old city we still live in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you waited. People waited, and that's what you did. Anyway, so this pasuk touches on the very familiar machloket that we find in Menachot 65a, which we're familiar with, but again, just to lay the groundwork for some of the questions that are very interesting and eye-catching about counting. So from the third to the first centuries, there were two main groups of Palestinian Jewry. The Tzedukim, the Pirushim, and the Baitutim were a subgroup of the Sadducees. And they disputed about this phrase, and we're familiar with this, but just to lay a groundwork, they disputed the phrase, Imacharata Shabbat. So the Pirushim, who inherited the Torah Sheba'al Peh, given at Har Sinai, handed down to Rabbinic Judaism, they argued with absolute certainty that Mimacharata Shabbat meant after a day of rest. It did not have anything to do with the literal Shabbat of the week, but it was after the first day of rest. And so they understood that the Omer needed to be cut after the first day of Pesach. The Tzedukim, they had a literal understanding, and they denied the authority of oral tradition, and they took Mimacharat Shabbat literally.
Well, I think they designed they took offense at the rabbinic authority, not their oral tradition per se. They had their own oral tradition.
Okay.
It was very political. It wasn't, I don't think it was theological. I think it was more political than anything.
Okay. And the politics played out where you read the Mishnah in Menachot, where it talks about how they went out to cut and they asked, you know, is this a scythe? Yes, it is. Is this an omer? Is this a this? And, you know, they got the public to participate. But the Tzedukim, they took things very literally, and they argued with equal certainty that Mimacharata Shabbat means that whenever Pesach begins, you wait to do the cutting and then the counting until after the closest Shabbat. And that's when you cut the Omer on the first Sunday of the Pesach week, not after the first day of Yontif.
Are you
So
going to
for
be
them,
from a Purushi document?
Is that what?
Is this story going to come from a Purushi document?
No. That,
No,
actually,
because there are stories in Gemara about Tzum Purushim. It's
yeah.
like about Trump by reading the notes from the Democratic Party.
Right.
You know what you're going to get. And so I'm just
Right.
wondering where the information that you're reading is coming from.
I'll tell you exactly where it's coming from. It's coming from, I'm looking at myself. It's coming from a fabulous book by Rabbi Cohen, Jeffrey Cohen from the British Empire. He's written several beautiful svarim. This is called 1001 Questions and Answers About Pesach. As far as pretty authoritative, as far as I know. Anyway, so much of this comes from his Q&A when he talks about some of these issues and questions. So this is where I've taken it from, and so he describes that for the Tzedukim, Shavuot and the Omer of wheat that is brought on Shavuot, that was always on a Sunday. Because if you're starting on a Sunday, so it's always going to fall out on a Sunday. So again, we find out the Mishnah in Menachot, in the 10th chapter of the third Mishnah, describes a full and elaborate detailing of the ritual of cutting the Omer, which included drawing in the people into this ritual so that everybody could forcefully reject the Tziduki tradition. So one could ask the question, couldn't the Tzedukim have argued that the Torah should have been more clear about what Shabbat means in the context of Mimacharata Shabbat? You know, like they would have said, that would have been nice something a little bit more clarified about what Mimacharata Shabbat is? Is it after the first day of Yom Tov? Is it after literally that Sunday is when everything starts?
Well, they're saying
And
that the day after Shabbat, what could be more clear than that?
I would say that the pshat would be after the Shabbat.
So
That sounds like that would be the pshat.
that's what I'm asking. What's more clear than that? That sounds like as clear as you can get. Questions
Well,
on the other team is, if it's after Yom Tov, why wouldn't it say that?
because if apparently, well, if you take the pshat of it, which would be after the first Shabbos during Pesach, then you would have a floating Shavuot. And if you want to connect Pesach and Shavuot to those 49 days and the 50th day is,
But that's
then
also a
that Shavuot is a floater, and
well
it's
that
going to be more or could be less, more than 50 days.
you realize there's a
No,
lot of
the counting was after Shabbat.
right there's a lot of circular reasoning here. Just on the 50th day,
Yeah.
that's Shavuot, and Shavuot might have been in antiquity. I read a source where it was about a week. There's a remnant of that because you can bring the korban for Shavuot like a week later. So just like Sukkot, there was a week of Shavuot.
Okay.
But be that as it may, if it would have been clear, it would have been stated clearly. The issue is why it wasn't stated clearly. So the
Good question.
Purim Rabbanim as kind of like the reform group, the traditional group, the people who never said what they didn't hear from their forefathers, even among Purushim, Rabbi Eliezer says that. And certainly they seem to have said that. We only repeat what we hear from our forefathers. We don't change and but there must be a lot more going on there with the politics of the time. I
I'm
have
sure.
this is a purely theological argument.
Right, we're
That's
getting
the whole
a
basis of the
distilled
arguments
version.
for conversion.
Say
That's
that
the
again,
basic
Avi.
arguments. Whether there's something called the Dat Rabbanim or Torah Shebaal Peh or not.
No,
That's
they had
the
Torah
whole
Shabbat. They
argument.
did, as I've been keep saying, they had a Torah Shabbat Peh. They didn't believe in the Purushi rabbinic authority. It's just like, let's say, Beitar and Efrat. Is Beitar going to accept the authority of the chief rabbi of Efrat? No. But that doesn't mean that Efrat does not have a chief rabbi and a high-level Torah. But the Chacham
I don't think they
has
had
a
Torah
lower level.
Shabbat Peh.
What?
I don't think they had a Torah Shabbat Peh.
No, I have a
Whatever
book.
was written in the
I'll
Torah, they
send you
did.
the book. I'll send you the book today. Of course they had it. How else can you explain things in the Torah that aren't clear? You have to have a Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, it's
Made
just,
it up.
you have to. Well, that's what
What
they
if you're
said.
a
That's
literalist?
what they said Purushim did. They said Purushim bit, and Purushim admit to making it up. They said we're making it up to accommodate the time. They
Didn't
have the
need a
authority
Masorah.
to make up.
You don't
That's
need a Masorah
the
to make it
argument.
up.
Well, so that's the argument. Tzedukim said you don't have the authority to make it up. Purushim said, yes, we do. And we have authority to make it up. That's exactly the Purushim argument. We can go with the flow. We can follow the need of the time. We can like, let's say, a Prosbul. Bowl. We need a Prosbul. Bowl, we can make it up. Whatever's needed, we have the authority to create it. Tzedukim said, we're not so sure. I'm not
Do
so
they
sure.
believe in the
I don't know.
ayin
I wasn't there then, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were much more literal, unless it's not clear. So anything that's clear, it seems from my reading what their background is, they take things literally unless it's very ambiguous and no one knows. And then you have to wonder, what do you do when it's not clear?
Well, so in this case, if there is supposed to be a 49 day period and the 50th is Shavuot, from the first day of Pesach, if you're going to linger and wait until the Omer is cut after the Sunday, after the first
No, but
Shabbat,
they start counting.
you're
They
no
start
longer having
counting on the
50
Sunday.
days.
Well, you do count
Why?
from there. You're
They
counting
start
from
counting on the first day. It's the same 50 days.
right. They just
Right.
count from cutting the
Right,
Omer.
but it no longer connects the first day of Pesach.
Well, that's
No.
exactly what I wanted to do. Prisha wanted to connect the two. That was the invention.
Okay, well.
You can see the mind of the rabbis. I mean, we all understand why it's done. They wanted to connect the two. Tzedukim said that's a very nice drash, but that's not what it says.
So that's an interesting question. How did the Pirushim swerve away from what seems to be pshat?
They felt that they had the right to do it.
But why did they do it?
But
That's what I don't, I'm not sure.
it's more than connecting Shavuot to Pesach. It's the date of Shavuot is based on 50 days from when you start the counting.
They started the counting
So,
after they brought the Omer.
right. So if they brought
Brought
the
the
Omer
Omer
on
on
the
the Sunday.
Sunday of Chol Hamoed, so then Shavuot is going to move. So we said before,
I think when it came down
still
to a lot of
connected.
this, a lot of the origin of this is who controls the calendar.
Well, we
That's
do.
an underlying argument here. Tzaddikim were the guardians of the calendar in the temple, meaning all the Tehillim were sung as markers for days of the calendar, and a lot was done in control of the calendar. You know, we went to war with the Greeks over the calendar. Tzaddikim said they control the calendar. This is how the calendar works. It's very set. You don't need rabbis to announce the month and to, and the Purushim said, no, we control the calendar, and we'll tell you when the holidays are, how it works. This was a massive power play. It wasn't just like, is it on Sunday? That's not what the argument was really about here. It's who controls that calendar.
Okay, that's not it's
There are
not
people
an
in America
overlay
that
that I'm
think
all that familiar with, but
think we're at war with Gaza because it's over a Palestinian state. People think that.
right.
And
It
it's easy to think that. I
depends
wouldn't
how you
doubt
pitch the narrative.
if most people think that. Does that make it right?
Sure.
They'll read 1,000 years from today. You know, there was a war about a Palestinian state.
Right.
But we know it's about Iran and wiping out the Jews, and it's more than just over a piece of land. So that's more than is counting them on a Sunday or, you know, or not. It's there's more behind here.
Yeah.
And when you read from a rabbi who has questions about it, he probably went to yeshiva. He's probably a follower of the Purushi, the normative halacha today.
As most of us are.
Right. But that doesn't mean that that's the origin of this argument, or even that it's correct. It's just what we do at this point. We'll
All right.
never
Well,
know. Never know.
we're going to see more things that we do this at this point, which we take as like bad use of the word gospel. We take as gospel, but this Rabbi Cohen introduces that there are other opinions about things that we take as, oh no, this is exactly what we do, and we don't do whatever others have recommended. Anyway, we'll see how this unfolds, but. I appreciate the fact that you've mentioned what a much bigger issue this is between the Tzedukim and the Purushim and the bigger political battles that were waged between the two. You say political, but
And
maybe less theological than political.
they also didn't like each other. They really didn't like it. The two were often Kohanim, well-connected, well-heeled, from a different class in society.
Yeah.
Purushim represented a different class of society. So
Okay.
there's a lot here. I mean, we
Yeah.
make when you read the Gemara, it sounds very simplistic, you know.
Very dry and cut and dry. No pun intended about the Omer. Okay. So now let's take a look at more contemporary counting of the Omer, being that we have no Beit HaMikdash. Well, we ask these questions of what is the status today of the counting? Is it Deoraita, Derabanan? How do we count? Why days and weeks? What if you forgot an entire day? What recourse is there? Are there disputes about any of these questions? So, even without the Beit HaMikdash today, the obligation to count remains. And of course, the machloket of is it Deoraita, Derabanan? The Torah refers to the counting daily, as well as the weeks, and that's exactly what we do. It's a mitzvah to count the days, as well as to count the weeks. So here's a question: why was a bracha needed for this counting? So we make this bracha, and why do we need it? There are other biblically prescribed countings of days which have no bracha. So, for example, when you count the days of the Zav, when you count the days of various kinds of discharges, or you count the days of the suspected Mitzora, or you count the days of for a woman after childbirth, 33 days, 66 days, seems to be no bracha there, and it's a counting. So why do we have a counting connected to the Sefirat HaOmer?
Maybe those are private countings, and this is a national, you know, like everyone does it on the nation.
That could be an answer. What Rabbi Jeffrey Cohen suggests is the following. He says that one of the distinguished 12th century circle of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Rabbi Ephraim Bar Yaakov of Bonn, states his reason why we have a bracha. He believes it was introduced, here we go again, by the early Perushim regarding Mimacharat HaShabbat, and felt that as a bracha over their opinion, it solidified their confidence that they were correct. In other words, it's we are so correct that we even mandate a bracha to be said upon this counting.
It's not that they're so correct. They want to be seen as so correct.
Right. We want to be seen as so correct. We even institute a bracha. That's how correct we are. Are there other approaches to this question and answer? Of course, he has, again, 1,001 questions about all things Pesach. And this was the Q and the A that he offered. So then he mentions this question of what is the difference? People have a different nusach. Hayom, whatever, Yamim, La'omer, Ba'omer, what is all that about? What's the difference in the bracha between saying Ba'omer and La'omer?
Bracha is the same.
Until you get to that word, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Melech Haolam. Hayom, Shisha Asar Yom, La'omer, Ba'omer.
That's not part of the bracha.
You're right.
That's the counting.
That's true.
Bracha is the same.
You're right. Is it the same by Sfardim? Is it the same?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not in the bracha, but it's in the expression of the day.
They say
the what?
They say La Omer. My Ashkenazi sitter says Ba Omer, and my Ashkenazi setting on the phone says La Omer.
Ah,
so someone's confused.
And this was Sfardim. They count and they say Hayom the days Ba Omer,
La Omer,
Shehem, and then they say Shehem, etc. But they say La Omer.
Asfirat HaOmer.
Yeah, the bracha is Asfirat HaOmer, but then when you express the day, I think there's...
That's a different... That's not the bracha.
Right, so we've moved away from the fact that it's not the bracha, it's just in the expression of the day. I think, from what I remember in the Sephardi shul that I used to go to, it's Hayom, Shisha Asar Yom. I think it's Ba. As far,
it is Ba'omer.
Could be way off. It's what?
Ba'omer.
Ba'omer. In the Sephardi Nusach?
Yeah, Sephardi minion in the governor's is La'omer. But
okay. So here's what he mentioned.
Also.
He mentions that it sounds like Ba'omer is the correct, given our naming of the 33rd day. We call it Lag Ba'omer. So he would suspect that Ba'omer. He says that he quotes the Vilna Gaon as saying you should say Ba'omer. At the same time, the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, suggests La'omer.
No, but see, when you say Lag Ba'omer, you're talking about the day, that this is the day. When you're counting towards the end.
Right.
So La is facing towards the conclusion.
Yes. So this is what he mentions.
Is in the day.
Right.
It depends on what the thought might be.
Correct. That's exactly what he mentions. He says that when you're talking about this Omer, it can be taken in two ways. If the Omer is an abbreviation for Sfirat HaOmer, the period of the counting, it would be correct to say Ba Omer. In other words,
No
it
problem.
were X amount of days into the Omer, or it can refer to the Omer offering of wheat on Shavuot, where La Omer would be more correct. It's X days towards that Omer counting. So it depends what you're really kind of like on the mindset. Today is X amount of days in the Omer, or is today a certain amount of days towards the other Omer, which is the Omer of wheat, which is brought on Shavuot. So that's kind of how he parses out the what might be the difference in Ba'omer and La'omer. So now we come to this of always an interesting question. What if you forgot to count during an entire 24-hour period? And here's where it was very eye-catching to me. The practice that we have today, since the Omer is technically a single 49-day unit, which I have to be honest with you, I never really understood why that would be. I mean, if every day you're making a separate accounting, in what sense is it one unit of 49 days? That's I never really understood that idea. But so he says that
if you're counting towards the Korban Omer and you forget a day, you missed the count. You didn't do the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is counting every day. The question really should be, why do we make a bracha every day? Because when you do a mitzvah, you make the bracha once.
Right. Yeah. Well, if it's one long mitzvah, so to speak, why make a bracha every day? Right. Yesterday's bracha should have covered it, or the first bracha should have covered it.
The first bracha should have covered it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like when we used to lay in Torah, the first person made the bracha. Right.
The last one made the second one.
That last person made the bracha achrona.
And in between, nobody made brachas.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a good question, too. That's a good question. So he says that since it's technically a 49-day unit, if the chain is broken, we no longer would say the bracha, but we continue each day's count without a bracha. So if he forgot at night, but remember during the day, he would say during the day without a bracha, but then later that night, he would continue counting with a bracha. But most would agree that the practice is if you missed an entire 24-hour day period without counting, then you proceed the rest of the countings without a bracha. And so one of the questions he asks in his sefer, is there any other remedy to just, well, I blew it, and now everything else has no bracha for the next 50, 49 days, whatever it is, wherever you miss that 24-hour period. Is there any other remedy, he says? And he quotes Joseph Ber Soloveitchik in his Beit Halevi. He has a novel suggestion, and he says that since the Torah speaks of counting days and weeks, one is still obligated to count weeks with the bracha. So if you missed a 24-hour day period, according to him, every time you get to the 7, 14, 21, 28, etc., there you would count with a bracha, because you're obligated to count weeks as well as days. So he asks in his sefer, how acceptable or prevalent is that practice today? You really don't hear of anything.
Never heard of it.
Beyond that. Is there any other practice? So he mentions that the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov didn't follow the view of the Shulchan Aruch and counted with a bracha even after they missed an entire 24-hour period. What was their rationale? Their rationale was that with later generations, if told not to say a bracha, they would feel that they're not really fulfilling any mitzvah without a bracha, and they won't bother even to continue the counting at all. So the feeling was people shouldn't be advised against saying a bracha. They're going to lose it. If you're going to tell them there's no bracha, they'll think it's worthless. They're
Wait
not
a minute. We don't make a bracha for a lot of mitzvot. We don't make a bracha when we give tzedakah. We don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha for other mitzvot. So what's the difference?
Because you have been making a bracha until that 24-hour period that you missed. And now you're going to tell people you don't have to make a bracha anymore. They'll just let it go. That was the
concept. Therefore, we shouldn't make a bracha at all till the last day.
Okay.
But
That that's
theoretically,
your suggestion?
well,
Just make a
see,
bracha on the last day, maybe?
yeah, because you fulfilled the mitzvah. How can you make a bracha when before you fulfill the mitzvah? We make brachot before we fulfill the mitzvah. Usually, when we make a bracha, we fulfill the mitzvah immediately. If we don't fulfill the mitzvah immediately, then it's a bracha vatala. So why don't we make a bracha upon completion? At the end. In other words, you count the last day and then you make a bracha. Then,
Or
and the
you
first,
count, you even make the bracha before you count the last day.
no, you make it after because you fulfilled the mitzvah. The
No, I'm
mitzvah is the
saying you go
count, not
back.
to make a bracha.
No,
You make a bracha
you're
after the
counting the
maaseh.
Bracha
last
is
day.
rabbinic. The counting would be possibly the rabbinic portion is the bracha.
No, for sure. But
Let's put it that way.
if the mitzvah is to count 49 days, so when you get to day 49, that is the
No, but you count at the end of the bracha. You can say you can make a bracha saying I fulfilled the mitzvah of the Torah of counting.
Where else
Depends
do we
how you
make
word the
brachas on
bracha.
something after? We don't make brachas on things after.
Except Shabbat candles.
Yeah, and an agar that's
So
tovel
therefore,
mitzvah.
we learn from Shabbat candles that we can make a bracha after.
So, what are you recommending? That for the 48 days you make no, you just say the day, you make no bracha, and on the
Yeah,
49th
you do, you hit a nemuchan, et cetera, and
you.
then
Oh, okay.
you do the count. You remind people to count of the day, so this way, if they missed if they didn't go to Maariv, or they missed it, And at the end, you do the, we make a big deal of the 49th bracha, and we make a bracha thanking Hashem for allowing us to count to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah of counting.
All in
It,
favor?
it, it, it's a it's a better solution because this way you don't shame anyone who comes to shul who forgot to make the who forgot the count the day before and therefore can't say the bracha.
How is that person being shamed? It's a private
Because
thing, is it?
oh, look at him, he missed the day.
How
Doesn't
does
mean
anybody know he missed the day?
especially
If
because
he's
he because we
the
because people say because even though we say the bracha ourselves,
chazan.
he's only counting.
Well, you don't because you don't hear him say the bracha, you know he's missed something, and
No, if
you're
he's the
shaming him.
chazan, then he doesn't say the bracha. He has to defer to somebody else. That's embarrassing.
That's why usually the Rav makes it because you
Right,
assume the
and
Rav
I
is
happened
right.
to
Being
I happened
counting
to go
on
to
the
happens
shul once
also.
where the
Or you see
Rav.
the guy next to you not making the bracha. You see him, waiting for everyone to finish their bracha so he could perhaps say amen and make his bracha and or make his count at that
Right.
point.
So the
So it's a
momentarily,
better,
this will
it's a
become
cleaner
relevant when.
solution.
Okay.
I was once in a shul with the Rav did not make the bracha, even though he did it every year because he had missed a day, and he was not embarrassed.
I remember where Rav had who was making the bracha every day and suddenly stopped making the bracha and asked someone else to make it because he missed the day. Yes,
Right,
I've
sure.
seen that.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
So I'm just pointing out that
No.
there would be a better solution that would that in no way would shame anyone, and it's a better solution because this way no one because sometimes I'll tell you something. I know people who have missed the bracha, but will
Okay.
continue saying, missed the day counting, but will continue saying the bracha, or at least mumble something, so they look like they're saying a bracha.
Oh, like to save embarrassment kind of thing?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
We'll use some for the
Very
next board
interesting
meeting.
thoughts. Very interesting thoughts. Welcome to all of you who have just come on. Appreciate it. So we're talking about questions, shaylot and shuvot regarding Sphira, some of which I
I'll give
think
you
are very
another one.
iconoclastic.
If someone does goes if someone travels from California to Australia, the international date line.
Oh.
Okay, so today's the 15th. They get there. Tomorrow's this. It's already the 16th when it's the 15th in the States. They get there. It's now time to count. It's the 17th. They missed the day.
Yeah, you
Do
miss a
they? What
day
do they
going to
do? Do they make
Australia.
a bracha? They didn't miss making the bracha and counting. They didn't miss any counting. What do they do? Coming the
Okay.
other way from Australia to
You
California,
have a day twice.
that's right. So what do you do?
Rabbanan Kaddish. Yisgadal v'yisgadal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that the initial setting up of a bracha in public is no better way than to ensure that everyone's on the same team. Remember what this original argument is about. You know, the institute of one of the Shmur and Esrei became 19 brachot.
Right.
Wanted people to ensure and root out and who may be on the opposing team. There's no better example of this right here in this question about saying a bracha out loud in public with everyone in the room, because it could be that there's some sneaky tzedukim in the crowd and they're going to mumble the bracha and not say it at all. And you're going to know who they are.
Oh my God.
You need to get rid of those guys.
That's a good tzeduki rooter outer.
It definitely was, because originally, remember, this is an internal Jewish machloket, all in one shul before the split. Okay. And that might be why it was instituted, to be said every day in public, to drive home this point that you better be on the winning team, or at least the correct team. I mean,
okay, I don't know for sure, but according to your formulation, it all adds up.
Yeah, they look, power politics is really big in religion to this very day.
Yeah. Okay.
What about women?
In a conversion, you'll see they'll schlep you to the Beit Din and say, what are you doing? Who gave you the authority to do that?
Right.
What about women? I know women, we assume that women aren't mechuyavim. I don't know if you talked about this before I logged on. If so,
we have not talked about it.
The Magen Avraham seems to indicate that women maybe should make a bracha when they do Sefirat HaOmer, at least that it's a chovah. Havya alein chovah. So do women need to count? If they need to count, do they need to make a bracha?
It's something that I haven't looked at recently about women counting or not counting.
It depends if you think women count or not.
Right. That's a good point. What would be the reason that they shouldn't count?
It's a mitzvah that they shall man grama.
If you can do it any time in the 24-hour day period, would that be considered a grama? Like,
I don't know, but that if I remember, that's the main reason for those who say they can't. There is also here and there those who think that women don't count or can't count, but we'll take that as a side minority.
We had a shiur on this many years ago, but
women and slaves are exempt.
Right.
That's
the Rambam.
We had a shiur many years ago that said that the women can count and should count because the mitzvah is counting. It's not as if there's other mitzvot that are involved and they might be time related. This is dafka, a time related mitzvah specifically, and therefore that rule doesn't apply because that rule is for other mitzvot that happen to fall out at a certain time. But because
okay, but
it's dafka time related, so women must do it.
But still, the Rambam says that, and we're all good litvaks, that women, and like Arthur said, women and slaves should not do it because it's a mitzvah that they should have one brother.
Well, that's why I said it depends if you think women count. Rambam is in that team that women don't count quite the same way.
Why? Not, women, according to the Rambam, a woman had to count the days of her period every single day. So he gives them a lot of credit. We learned that with Michael.
I don't know that. Who else is supposed to count that? Only she knows.
But we trust her to count it and to know what she's doing.
We trust her in the kosher of the kitchen also.
I mean, and the Torah gives mitzvah to say for women to count.
Yeah. I'm just saying for those people, that was the tenor of the shir, that because, and obviously they're not following the Rambam, is that because the mitzvah is counting, that's the mitzvah to count, then women should be counting.
With a bracha.
With a bracha. Because that's the mitzvah. It's not that it happens to be, you know, during a time-related mitzvah, so exempt because of a time-related issue.
I don't know. When I think of time-related, I think of like a certain time period. You know, it's a, the Zman is goreim to be done at this particular time. I It's hard to think of it as a 24-hour period.
That's right. She's not
As
in a tefillah. It's
why
a
is
prayer, but
counting?
You
Why
don't
is
count at
counting at
night. You can't
night?
make a bracha the next day. You can't make a bracha during the day, correct?
Why
If
is
you
counting
forgot
at
at night,
night
you don't make the
if
bracha
the
during the day,
beginning,
according to
but
our
if the
practice.
beginning of the counting starts in a field, and when the sickle first hits the grain, standing grain, which
They
is
do that
when
at
you
night.
the count. So you're
They went
starting,
out.
so that always happens in the day. That doesn't happen at night.
They went out at night to do that. They cut
Oh.
that for granted at night.
Before Yuntiv, they would tag. They would go out and take a
Right.
look and tag certain things.
They started that mitzvah at night.
They went out at night to cut the grain?
Well, to tag, to isolate which ones are going to be cut. And I
I
think they
think that was before even Pesach began. They would go out and inspect and what was, the full crop, what was,
Yeah, but the counting would
and they would
begin
follow through right
in
after the
conjunction
first
with
day
the
of Tishrei.
harvest, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm not sure how his. I would have to look it up, but I'm
My
beginning to believe.
understanding was they did it that night, but I could be wrong. Having been facilitated before Pesach to know where to go and which ones to tag, I mean, they were pre-tagged. Here's where you go. This is a beautiful growth, and that's a beautiful. Let's tag it, put a ribbon, whatever they did. But
Growth
my understanding was they went out at night, but I could be.
with Korbanot in general, things related to activities in the temple, the daytime started in the morning, like normal people do. The other Jewish approach is the day starts at nighttime. But because this was a Korban-related activity, you might think daytime, but I think they went out at night. At least this is the
Dangerous at night.
the Jews were tough then.
Well, maybe they
Not
went out
really.
at night, but the
Cooler at night.
offering was in the morning. Maybe they brought at night to be offered in the morning.
I'm sure in the Tzedukah handbook, this is one of those arguments.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And anyway, just to proceed a little bit, what Rabbi Jeffrey Cohen points out with this whole situation of, do you have a remedy? If you missed a 24-hour period, he says that most of the Rishonim, those who lived before Rav Karo of the Shulchan Aruch, felt that a bracha may indeed be made even missing one entire day. Now, again, this is tends not to be our practice today, but he mentions that there are a couple of ways to handle a situation where you've missed an entire 24-hour day period.
That would answer Arthur's question. Someone could rely upon that and just continue counting.
No, it's not lechatchila. You don't miss it on purpose, so you can just do it in the daytime.
No, but
Anus.
if you slept, you're in under anesthesia, for
No,
reason, you're out
that's
of place.
anus.
If you didn't count, I'm just saying that Arthur asked, what do you do when you actually missed a day of no fault of your own?
Yeah, so one answer was you can still count weeks, according to Rav Soloveitchik of the Beit HaLevi and others, is there were precedents apparently where even missing
I
one day
actually
you can
read
go
three
back to
different
a bracha.
opinions.
What's that?
I looked it up. I read three different opinions. One says that you continue in your mind to
Oh.
remember the day that you're counting next. So what you would do is you'd make the bracha and you go, for me it was the sixth, it would be the 16th, but then out loud you say the 17th, for example.
Oh.
Or so one has you counting with a bracha, one has you just counting without a bracha that day, and then the next day you can count with a bracha. I mean, there's a whole
Right.
bunch of different opinions.
Right.
Regarding women, Rav Asher Weiss
Oh.
ruled that women should count with a bracha if they believe they're going to be able to fulfill the entire count. He says the reasons why they exempted women no longer apply today
Oh.
because women are no longer ignorant. And they're used to
Okay.
doing mitzvot with brachot. So if
Actually,
someone
apply.
counted with a bracha, he says it's absolutely correct.
Well,
For
why
a
doesn't
woman.
that apply
For a
to
woman.
men?
For
That
women. Yeah, but how?
men should only make a bracha if they feel that they're going to be able to complete the whole cycle.
Yes. In other words, if they just happen to be in shul the day that someone counts, that you start counting, they shouldn't make a bracha unless they believe that they're going to fulfill the entire mitzvah.
It takes
I
like say a
tell you every
chayal that's
day.
in miluim,
It's
he
an
doesn't know
interesting,
if
that's
he's
a
gonna.
stipulation only for women. It should be
That
also for
that's what
men.
he says for women. It should be a stipulation for men also,
It should be.
when I think about it.
I mean, Rav Asher Weiss probably takes it for granted that every single man is going to do it the way it should be done.
Yes. All right. So let's take a look at all right, let's take for because the time is shorter than I thought it would be, but I really appreciate the shaklavatarya here that I enjoy. I enjoy when people are engaged in the topic and aspects of the topic. I really appreciate that. So let's go to the last few minutes where I was listening to a shiur from Rav Asher Weiss about Sfirat HaOmer, and this is a little bit more, I would say, hashkafic than halachic, but I found this very, very interesting, and I hope you do too. Or we'll see. You'll let me know. You'll let me know by the amount of boxes that become empty in the next 2 minutes. So he says, he quotes the Sefer Achinuch. This again, Rav Asher Weiss. He says the mitzvah of Sfira is there in order to anticipate Kabbalat HaTorah, to create an excitement about it. One could say, would it have been better to count in a different direction? You know, I'm getting a new bike in 49 days, 48 days, it's 47 days. Well, one could make a good case that maybe we should have counted in the opposite direction, instead of going from 1 to 49 to count the opposite way. But he quotes the Sefer Achinuch and says that this is a matter of being anticipatory about Kabbalat HaTorah.
Yeah, but you got to wonder what they did in the very beginning. We have a historian on our staff, so to speak, and this idea of counting towards Shavuos very late in the game by one particular team. But prior to that time, it was purely agricultural. Purely agricultural. There was no connection whatsoever. It was made later. So it could be that that's why it was instituted, to make that linkage.
Oh, I see.
But the question
So,
is, what did they do prior? It was just purely an agricultural day.
yeah, so here's an interesting book. It's called The Biblical and Historical Background of the Jewish Holy Days, Rabbi Abraham Block. And he talks about things like that. But what was it? And then what became the overlays? So it's a very, very interesting book to look at. And he says, Rav Asher Weiss, who quotes the Ran, the Rabbeinu Nissim, he says, when Jews left Egypt, they would gather around Moshe daily and ask him, "Nu, when is Kabbalat HaTorah already? When is it going to happen?" So according to the Ran, Hashem instituted the counting of days and weeks to satisfy their urge to know. That's the version of the Ran. Sefer Achinuch, again, just like a servant counts the days towards his release, so we count towards Kabbalat HaTorah from Pesach to Shavuot. So now Rav Asher Weiss introduces a very interesting thing. He says, he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who says that there should be a kesher, a connection, between the 49 days of Sfira to the Braita that we find in Pirkei Avot, the sixth chapter, about there being 48 ways to acquire the Torah. 48 ways, 48 modes of behavior that help us to acquire the Torah. What does that mean? That means if you do those 48 ways, then you have a chance of being a Torah Jew with all kinds of sensitivities. Like one of them is Noseh Be'ol Chaveiro. That's one of the 48. How do you acquire the Torah? One of the 48 is to be sensitive to the challenges of your friend and to help out. Noseh be'ol chaveiro. You are helping out with the burden of your friend. Doesn't mean a physical burden necessarily, but also an emotional burden. You're sharing the burdens of the people around you. You're sensitive to them. You're compassionate, etc. That's a way of acquiring the Torah. Have you learned any psukim doing that? The answer is no, but you've learned a characteristic that the Torah is trying to ingrain in its followers.
So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is wondering, according to Rav Asher Weiss, 48 ways to acquire the Torah is so close to 49. It's so close that he felt that there ought to be a kesher between the 48 ways and the 49 days, except, as we know, it's missing one day. 48 is not exactly 49. But
unless
it's
you summarize all the 48.
So close, he says, there ought to be this kesher. What were you saying?
If you summarize all 48 on the 49th reason, so then you have 49.
So one opinion is that the reason that, so A, no, they couldn't come up with 49 ways. That's one of the things Rav Asher Weiss said, couldn't come up with a 49th way, you know? And the answer to that, he says, Chazal have mentioned 48 ways, and that's what it is. Chazal said there are 48 is meant to be 48. It's not like they fell short or somebody fell asleep and said, oh, there should have been a 49. No, with their Ruach HaKodesh and their great depth, they said there are 48 ways. It falls short of 49. You're right. But so the question that Rav Asher Weiss takes up, which I don't know if we'll have a chance to take a look at everything he says about it, is there is still this one day discrepancy. And what do you do with that in order to maintain what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter feels ought to be a kesher between the 48 ways and the 49 days? So
maybe it's left open for us to figure out the 49th. Like it's an open, like here's the 48, you come up with the 49th.
Yeah, that's why I said come up with the summary.
48 plus the kolel is 49.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe it's a remez to 1948, which is when we got the hashlama of the Torah and we got Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, very nice. That was the same year Avram was told Lech Lecha, right? 1948.
Yes.
So they say.
So they say. That was the Tzeduki way of looking at it. Anyway, so here's what he says, because we have just a few moments left. So the Chidushei Harim, as well Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, they say that the 49th day of Sfira, now, if you have a discrepancy of one day, one could argue, is that one day the first of the 49, or is that the last of the 49? But he says that the 49th day of Sfira is meant to be a chazara on the previous 48. That's according to Chidushei Harim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. What is that 49th day? If you're going to make this kesher already, because the numbers are so darn close, what is that 49th day? The 49th day is a day of review. A review. How can you now, having learned the 48 ways, how can you now, one of my favorite words, inculcate each of these 48 days and ways into your personality? So it's a day of chazara. It's a day of review. So Rav Weiss says, it's hard to imagine that there's this kind of like a mitzvah of chazara in this kind of a situation. He says that chazara is more like a yeshivish discipline. And it's hard to imagine that something connected with a deoraita kind of a mitzvah has part of it as a chazara. He says it's more a yeshivish thing, not something necessarily connected to a deoraita.
Don't you think 49 days we should have a party on the 50th?
A party on the 50th?
No, like at the end of 49, don't you? I always thought there should be like something in the shul. You just counted 49 days.
Oh, a little schnapps, some
kiffle. Yeah, a little something.
Not just herring.
Shavuos doesn't count.
Well, that's like
already the 50th. He's saying in the morning or maybe at night.
At night, the night of the 49th.
At night, even in the morning. Counted,
and then have counted. A little something.
What time should we come over?
How about now? Now would be perfect. So here's what we don't have time for now, but I'll just mention it. So one opinion is that 49th day, whether you put it in the beginning or the end, but Chidushei Harim suggests at the end, is that it should be a day of chazara where you try to understand how to inform your life better, having learned about and how do you use these 48 ways. That's what you do on the 49th day. So another thing that he suggests, that Rav Asher Weiss suggests, is about this 49th day. whether it's at the beginning or at the end, he says that it's probably better at the to do that in the beginning and then the 48 ways. The first day is should be a day where you're asking Hashem for siyata deshmaya. Day one is really a day of tefillah, a day of davening, that Hashem should help you learn these 48 ways, how to bring them into your life, how to infuse your spiritual life with these 48 ways. And he compares it, and I guess with this we will end, but there's another way too. Maybe we'll start that next week. He says you can compare that to somebody who's climbing a ladder. And the ladder has 49 steps, but between step number 48 and 49, there is this gargantuan distance between 48 and 49. So he says, so what do you do if you're on the 48th rung, right? So once you're on the 48th rung, you look down, you say, oh my gosh, look how far I have come. But now, how am I going to get to the 49th rung? This is what I've come to climb to the very top. But there's such a distance between 48 and 49. How do I climb to 49? And he says, this is where the average person would daven to Hashem to say, if there is a power up there, give me some Ezra, give me some help to go from 48 to 49. And this is where you ask Hashem to give you a little siyata dishmaya to kind of climb to the very, very top and reach that 49th rung. And he says, maybe that's the purpose of this 49th day, that it should be that the first day should be a day of tefillah, and then you go on with the other 48 steps to acquire the Torah. And then he mentions a third way, which I'll just touch upon, and then you'll move on to your next year. And that is the Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal suggests in the very opening of his entire work. And he says, the Yesod HaChasidut, the Shorash HaAvoda HaTamima Hi, what is the bedrock of piety and the root of a flawless divine service to Hashem? It lies in man's effort to clarify and verify what is his duty in the world. So he suggested, Rabbi Asher Weiss suggests, maybe that's the purpose of the first day, that before you go on your journey to the 48 ways, each day you ponder one of those 48 ways. The first of those 40, of the 49 is try to clarify for yourself, what is your purpose in the world? Like, it all begins with that. What is your tachlit in the world? Once you've got that clarified, if you can clarify that, then you move on to the other 48 ways. And in that way, there is a parity now between the 49 days and the 48 ways, plus one day for either contemplating your purpose in the world or asking Hashem for help to inculcate those 48 ways, or a chazara at the end, so you can try to assimilate those 48 ways, review them, and see how you can bring them into your daily life. So,
the first day is putting a base for the ladder.
What was that?
The first day is putting a base for the ladder before you can put the ladder up. You got a flat surface.
Yeah, right. So he would say that flat surface is what are you here for? What are you here for, therefore? Anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting way of looking at things. Thanks for joining us today.
He who has a why can withstand anyhow.
Say that again.
He who has a why can withstand anyhow, says Viktor Frankl.
Viktor Frankl. Very nice. Very nice.
Unless it's a prophetic image to the 49ers, but okay.
Maybe that's just in San Francisco, I think. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. Shabbat shalom. Be happy, Shabbat healthy, shalom, and Barak. Safe. God willing, we'll see you next Thursday. And be well. Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut. Big time's coming up. And we should all hear Bisorot Tovot.